should Michigan allow commercial fish farms in the Great Lakes? That's a question state officials are grappling with right now. Proponents say Michigan, with its rich water resources, could be a leader in responsible net pen aquaculture. But opponents say the possible economic gain isn't worth the environmental risks. Some state lawmakers, including Republican Senator Rick Jones of Grand Ledge, are hoping to ban commercial fish farms from operating in the Great Lakes or any of their connecting waterways. Today we hear from guests on each side of the issue. Dan Vogler is the owner of Harrietta Hills Trout Farm, which operates on the Ausable River. Mr. Vogler says that net pen operations can be a safe and sustainable form of aquaculture. Welcome to Current State, Dan.
Good morning.
And returning to Current State, Brian Burrows, Executive Director of Michigan Trout Unlimited, which supports a ban on Great Lakes fish farms. Hello, Brian.
Good morning, Mark.
Dan, could you first describe for our listeners, and use layperson's language as best you can here, just what net pen aquaculture entails, please?
Well, what net pen aquaculture entails is... It can differ somewhat from site to site because different sites are different. But basically,
what's at the heart of it?
What's at the heart of it is having floating net structures that house a population of fish in a specified area that you feed and grow, and then come back and harvest. So it's the nets can be different depending on the requirements of the individual site, but that's the basics.
Now, many people are pointing to the state's water resources as something to be leveraged. We hear again and again references to the blue economy. Talk to us about the economic potential for this.
Well, the economic potential for aquaculture in Michigan truly is significant. The Michigan Aquaculture Association, in conjunction with Michigan Sea Grant, put together a strategic plan that points to the possibility of a $1 billion industry, not necessarily all in net pens, but a $1 billion aquaculture industry potential for the state. So it would be certainly a significant industry.
Brian, State Senator Rick Jones has introduced legislation that would ban net pen aquaculture, both in the Great Lakes and their connecting streams. Michigan Trout Unlimited supports the bill. Tell us why.
Well, we believe that out of all the available kinds of aquaculture, recirculatory systems that are closed, flow-through systems, and net pens, that net pens today cannot be done without causing severe damage.
Mm. Dan, how do you respond to those concerns?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, the Jones bill not only bans not only bans net pen aquaculture, but it would actually ban all of the existing fish farms that exist in the state of Michigan today. So it's quite the regressive piece of legislation. And then, in terms of the utilization of recirculating aquaculture systems as the sole source of aquaculture development for Michigan, I think, is a huge mistake to look that direction. Recirculating aquaculture is extremely expensive to build. It is also extremely expensive to operate, has very high energy consumption demands, and energy consumption is a major issue in terms of looking at the ecological impacts of agricultural food development systems. So there's some issues there, and you have to look at the track record of recirculating aquaculture. You're going to find that it's very, very limited in terms of success across the United States, and we really don't have commercial success in the United States except for systems that produce tilapia and sell into live ethnic markets. So it's a very specialized niche, and it's pretty well tapped out. So to produce fish truly economically and truly ecologically sustainably, we have to have systems that are both ecologically sound, and we believe that net pen aquaculture is ecologically sound for a number of reasons, and it also has to be socially sound, and it also has to be economically sound. And if the economically sound part of sustainability doesn't work, then you can't build those systems. So from an economic standpoint, you know, the recirculating argument doesn't work very well.
Dan, Brian Burroughs has put a lot on the table here. Let me give you a minute or two to respond to what you just heard.
Yeah, thanks. So we actually feel the exact opposite when we talk about ecologically sound and economically sound. The recirculatory systems are responsible, sustainable, but they do have a startup cost because they are paying for equipment that helps them take account of all of their waste, contain their fish, their diseases. As a business model, it is taking full account of its cost of doing business. If you allow net pens or certain flow-through systems to operate, what they're functionally doing is passing on waste management costs to the public. They release waste into the environment, and that is a cost that they don't have to bear as part of their business. So from economically sound, no, they're, you know, net pens are the opposite of that, in that they're passing along business costs. One of the reasons that recirculatory systems haven't been allowed to develop as they should is that they are paying for the startup cost of their equipment to do their business the right way. And every time we allow a net pen or a bad flow-through system to occur, we, the public, are subsidizing that form of aquaculture at the disincentive of the recirculatory systems.
Brian Burroughs is the executive director of Michigan Trout Unlimited. We're talking today about the debate over whether to allow commercial fish farms in the Great Lakes and their tributaries. We're also joined by Dan Vogler, who's on the phone. Dan's the owner of Harrietta Hills Trout Farm in Harrietta, Michigan. I want to follow up with Brian, though, here before we come back to you, Dan. Michigan doesn't have any net pen fish farms on our side of the Great Lakes, but I know that Ontario actually has 7 licensed facilities, as well as 3 run by First Nation tribes. Some of these have been in operation since the 1980s. There don't seem to have been any major environmental impacts reported from those operations. Can't we look to those companies as models for potential Michigan-based aquaculture systems?
Well, I don't think that we can. The reasons I say that are a couple-fold. One, as we've been looking around for what is the Ontario experience, we found that in 1999, they decommissioned and shut one down in the North Channel that had severe ecological effluent limitation problems. They started monitoring within a couple of years after they decommissioned that. They were still finding environmental problems in that area.
Nine out of 10 would suggest that it can be done, that it could be done well.
Well, you know,
you're referring to one. So.
Yeah, their follow-up, they went out, the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources in about 2004 went out and they studied 2 other sites, and they found that in both of those cases, the outside of the permitted boundary of those net pens, they were exceeding severe effluent limits.
Dan, state officials are currently reviewing 2 permits for proposed net pen operations here in the Great Lakes. They convened a panel of scientific experts to make recommendations on how the state should proceed if they choose to permit these facilities on the Great Lakes. Now, those reports, which were released last week, recommended that Michigan take a cautious approach to the idea of aquaculture here in the Great Lakes, but starting with smaller pilot projects. Do you think that cautious approach is the right one?
Well, our industry has always recommended a properly regulated, cautious approach as we look at development. And I would have to take issue with Brian's evaluation of what happened in Canada. The Canadian system actually has been very successful, and there have been very, very few issues. And if you look at what happened in Canada in 1999, they did discover that there was a system that was out of compliance, and it was, taken out of service. And, you know, that's the type of adaptive management strategy that is suggested by the science panel review. If you look at it, it talks about a cautious approach with a slow ramp up and adaptive management, which means that you study what you are doing as you do it, and you determine whether or not there are negative impacts. If you're seeing trends you don't like, you adapt your management techniques. And it's all about developing a responsible industry that does take into account effects on the environment, and that you adapt to them. We need domestic seafood production in the United States, and you know, Brian's assessment of recirculating aquaculture systems, I'm sorry, is simply wrong. I'm looking at this from the perspective of somebody that's been involved in the aquaculture industry for 18 years, and I have observed all sorts of production techniques, and we currently have a number of commercial uses of the Great Lakes, all of which have some sort of impact on the lakes, but we've decided that those impacts are acceptable based on the benefits that they bring, and we believe that that type of evaluation can certainly show that aquaculture in the Great Lakes can be a benefit to the people of the state of Michigan and to our economy.
Brian, anything in particular to say in response to that?
Yeah, the panel reports, I mean, they accomplished quite a few things. One of them was to validate that all of the problems that we mentioned with net pens on the last radio show are absolutely true. You don't have to take, you know, an environmentalist opinion on it. That's what they validated. There's a lot of mechanisms of impact. And what Dan mentions is right. I mean, the panel did not actually say that we should experiment with the Great Lakes, but they said if we were going to allow this at all, it would have to be viewed as an experiment with an intense amount of monitoring done. They actually, in that report, also say that, the cost of that experiment really needs to be borne by the citizens of Michigan and their taxpaying dollars. There's enough evidence in that report on all the different ways that these are damaging that there is no way that it's not going to cause impact. What the report says and what Dan mentions is it going to be an allowable amount of impact?
What kind of regulations are already in place here, though, for inland aquaculture operations in the state?
Right now, the extent of environmental regulations basically equates to the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination Permit, so NPDES permit, which gives somebody a permit to release a certain amount of effluents and do a certain amount of damage to water quality standards.
I have to intervene here a little bit. You know, the fact of the matter is that those permits are very strict, and those permits are not the only permits that are required. There are also licensing of Michigan aquaculture facilities.
Yeah, there's other ones, but Mark was actually asking
by the Michigan
about
Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, and there are also potentials for intervention from the Department of Natural Resources. So talking about it strictly in terms of NPDES permits would not be entirely accurate.
We got 30 seconds. Somebody's got to have the last word, Brian.
Yeah, so the NPDES is far from a perfect thing. Dan's operation in Grayling, as it's proposed, that permit is setting an effluent limit that's 2 to 3 times higher than the impact threshold from the best available science. So the NPDES permit today is not an end result to protect us here. The economic impact from recreational fishing, I'll try to leave you with this, is $4.2 billion a year just from fishing in Michigan. It's 38,000 jobs. The ideal scenario of aquaculture expansion in Michigan is very, very minuscule for that, and it puts what we have in great jeopardy.
We've got to leave it there. I'm sorry to say we've been talking about the debate over whether or not to allow commercial fish farms to operate in the Great Lakes. Our guests today have been Brian Burrows, Executive Director of Michigan Trout Unlimited. Also on the phone from Harrietta, Michigan, Dan Vogler, owner of Harrietta Hills Trout Farm. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.